On a recent afternoon, students are wandering through the upper gallery at the Mildred Lane Kemper Art Museum on the campus of Washington University. Below their feet, workers in white overalls are busy painting and nailing together what will become the exhibit titled George Braque and the Cubist Still Life. Karen Butler is the exhibit's co-curator.
Braque and Picasso worked very closely together. It was a collaboration to create these very radical paintings that questioned the history of naturalistic-looking paintings. So the paintings were fragmented and fractured, and they're very difficult to look at. It's very hard to understand what you're seeing. But it was a very radical moment in time.
Here's where we need to push pause. In order to understand the exhibit opening today, we'll need to first travel more than 100 years back in time. It's Paris in 1910. Braque is working alongside a kindred spirit, Pablo Picasso. Both men are sharing a studio and are rapidly dismantling the traditions of Western art. By 1912, the two create the foundations for a new visual language called analytical cubism. Objects have sharp angles, and their paintings attempt to show viewers multiple dimensions on a flat canvas. But soon the opening shots of World War I are fired, ending their collaboration. Braque is drafted and goes to the trenches. He returns to Paris blinded by a bomb blast. A hole is drilled in his skull. Pressure on his brain is eased. Wounds heal. He sees the world again. He returns to the easel, and at first his paintings are small. Elements of the style he developed before the war remain. He still searches for multiple dimensions on a flat surface. But as Braque ages, his palette expands. Colors are bolder, the canvas bigger, the angles softer. Soon, though, the drums of war begin to beat again, and by 1938, newsreels of Adolf Hitler and his massive war machine flicker on screens around the world.
With Austria's surrender accomplished, Germany's chancellor opens the 13th Nazi Congress at Nuremberg. Here he thunders his war threat to an anxious worldwide audience and demands the right to self-determination for 3,500,000 Sudeten Germans. Shadows of another world war spread over the universe.
As the scope of the war widens, Braque's work becomes smaller again, more personal. And this brings us back to the Mildred Lane Kemper Art Museum, where students are quietly examining modern art. The exhibit opening today focuses on the years just before and during World War II. Co-curator Karen Butler says Braque was a meticulous artist, and by zooming in on this period, viewers can question how, or if, the war influenced his work. The curators went so far as to x-ray a painting to examine the subtle changes he made while crafting a still life. She says of particular interest are skulls that first appeared in his paintings in 1938.
Braque denies that these paintings have anything to do with World War II, and yet you as a viewer cannot help but ask, as you're looking at these mute objects, the skulls, what does that mean? It's a comment on death. How can it not be?
Then again, she says, it's hard to know the mind of an artist. As for why Braque never became the household name that Picasso did, Butler says maybe it just boils down to the kind of guy he was. Not really flamboyant, married to the same woman his entire life, a trained house painter who grew to become an artistic pioneer. I'm Tim Lloyd, St. Louis Public Radio.